Hello and welcome to the latest episode of SG Voice Talks 2. Today we're lucky enough to be joined by Stuart Taylor, UK Country Director at Just Dig It. This is a grassroots organisation that's tackling climate change and cooling the planet through re-greening African landscapes. So far it's managed to restore 300,000 hectares of land and brought back over 9 million trees. So that's an incredibly exciting number, and it sounds massive, although I imagine in the context of African continent as the whole, it's relatively small. But could you explain, Stuart, what is the problem that Just Dig It is trying to solve?
Sure. Thanks, Felicia, and thanks for having me on. The problem we're trying to solve is really the problem that degraded land all over the world, but particularly in Africa, poses for people. So many people live off the land and are dependent on the land. And every year, 12 million hectares of land gets degraded, either through climate change, through mismanagement, or various other reasons. So our primary function is to regreen this land and make it fertile and useful again. Useful not just for people, but also for wildlife and biodiversity. So that's our central mission. And if we're to put numbers on it, we want to activate over 350 million smallholder farmers in sub-Saharan Africa, because there is so much to do.
And so basically, the approach you're taking is tackling climate change, it's tackling food security, it's tackling the protection of nature and biodiversity through engaging with people on the ground, and in that process, then improving the lives of those smallholders?
100%. So we do what we do by inspiring, educating, and empowering smallholder farmers and pastoralists to regreen their land. It's not our land. We give them the tools and the information to make their own lives better. And in doing so, we all benefit, because a greener land, a greener planet is a cooler planet. So, as you mentioned, our statistics are actually better than you mentioned in the upfront there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we're actually expanding extremely rapidly. We're up to over 16 million trees that have been brought back to life. We're covering over 400,000 hectares of land under management, and that is the equivalent of 530,000 football fields, 4,000 square kilometres, and we're increasing our scale at pace. We do other things as well, but they're all very simple. Digging water trenches, rainwater harvesting. They're all very simple, low tech, and very scalable and cost effective, I should add as well.
So how do you go about doing what you do? So how are you solving this problem? So you're talking about education, you're talking about simple, low-tech things, but what does that really mean?
What it really means, Felicia, is that we attract funding through a very strong communications approach, and because people respond to the idea that if we can restore nature, we can cool down our planet. We always have a very positive outlook on this, rather than sort of guilting people into gifting and donating by showing starving animals or people. We illustrate the fact that there are solutions available, readily available. And what we do with that money is we partner up with local implementation partners on the ground in the areas that we choose to help restore. There are several stages we go through to identify the areas that we want to restore. In Tanzania, for instance, it's all about smallholder farmers, where they have trees on their land which have been cut down, and they need to be restored into fully grown trees to be effective. In southern Kenya, for instance, the land is more pastoral land, where grazing occurs, and perhaps through overgrazing, the land has been degraded. So we partner up and we talk to local communities and judge the appetite with which they have to restore their own land. As things are getting worse, as you well know, through global heating, increasing droughts, this is putting intense pressure on water, food, resilience and availability. So increasingly we're finding that people are willing to have this conversation with our partners, and we then start to implement a plan. And that involves them doing the work. They do the digging for rainwater harvesting. We pay them to do that work so that they have a vested interest in doing it. We explain the benefits, and then we help implement those projects and then manage them for some time after to make sure the same habits and processes aren't going back to how they were. It's very important that once these projects are complete, those habits of grazing management and looking after the trees, for instance, continues for a long period of time so that the farmers themselves get the benefit and the land genuinely gets restored for a long period of time.
So, I mean, one of the things that fascinates me when you talk about soil degradation, you talked about land degradation, is I'm completely obsessed by soil, which I realize is a strange thing to be obsessed by. But how is it that what you do improves the quality of soil? And what does it mean to have the trees there and to change the model from one of sort of taking everything to its last nth degree to actually being more regenerative?
Well, we're obsessed with soil as well, because soil is where it all starts. And a lot of people don't know that so much carbon is stored in the soil. When the soil gets dried out, two things happen. One, it ceases to be productive. And secondly, it hardens into what we call a hard pan, which means that when it does rain, the rain just runs away. It's not useful. It flows away. It often erodes and forms these gullies. I've seen them for myself in southern Kenya, thus rendering the land even less productive. It's a vicious spiral of degradation that quickly takes hold. However, when you crack open the top soil and allow water to sort of permeate and sink in slowly, often from a large puddle that we have dug, or the trees start to grow and they filter the water, they allow it to fall more gently. And thus the land is able to absorb the water rather than have it run off a sort of smooth surface. In terms of the soil itself, clearly this water gaining access to the soil starts to replenish it, and seeds can germinate, seeds that are often already in the soil, and they are allowed to regenerate. Sometimes we do seed the bunds, the water pits that we have dug, and that allows for a multitude of different plants to suddenly take root. Once you have the perennial grasses taking root, it anchors the soil, as I'm sure you and your listeners know. Once you have that bedrock, if you like, of stable perennial plants, then the soil does not erode any further. And of course, trees are the sort of, anchor species. Once their roots take hold and start to grow and meet other roots, that further stabilizes and replenishes the soil. With the water and the root systems that are growing there, the soil health actually grows, the fertility of that soil, which renders the farmer's crops more productive. And that's where the magic happens. Once you've got the soil more productive and more fertile, everything flows from that. Better yields.
And that's how you encourage the farmers to continue doing
Absolutely.
It because they can see the benefits for themselves.
And we have two ways of doing this. One is to sort of show them and show them videos through movie roadshows, village by village. We tour around through our partners, the LEED Foundation in Tanzania. We go around with a truck and a projection screen, talk to the villages. The other method is to train champion farmers, because once you have a champion farmer that's skilled in these techniques, they are much more willing to listen to their neighbor or their colleague or their brother in villages, or sister for that matter. And that's how word of mouth is an extremely powerful education tool.
So one of the things that struck me, you mentioned the importance of carbon sequestration in healthy soil. How do you go about raising funding? You mentioned communication, so obviously there's part of that is donations. Is there any way for sort of companies to get involved in supporting you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we rely heavily on corporate donations. I mean, we're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. So we're growing very rapidly. We're very well established. We have a large office in Nairobi. We operate now in 5-6 countries, not just Kenya and Tanzania, but we help other projects across Africa in Madagascar, Uganda, Togo, and Ethiopia. And we're opening up shortly an office in Senegal, in Dakar. We couldn't do what we do without donations, and they come from a variety of sources. I personally feel the key to this is business donations, corporate donations. So many businesses make a lot of money, and a lot of them now are getting tuned into the challenges we face as a planet, in terms of their supply chain, in terms of their risks. This is all about risk management. If they don't do it voluntarily, they're going to have to do it soon, particularly the big ones. And there are innumerable ways companies can get involved with Just Dig It. We do not, I should say at the outset, offer carbon offsets. We think this market is got a lot of flaws, but primarily the reason why we don't do that is that getting top-level certification for offsets takes years and it costs a lot of money. And we would prefer to put that money into the ground and expand our projects because we know it works. We do, however, measure our carbon, both in the soil and above ground with the millions of trees that we are having restored. So whilst we don't offer offsets, we can offer various packages for corporates in terms of reporting. All our reporting is done independently because, yeah, how else can we talk about what we do with any integrity without third-party reporting? But we'll give them either an area, depending on the donation. We look at an area that they can call their own, and we will send photographs and reporting back from that area to prove and to sort of tell that story of what that money is actually doing on the ground. The larger the donation, the deeper the reporting. And people can go for an area, they can go for a number of trees, they can go for a number of water bins, which is often very appealing because you see the impact almost immediately after the annual or biannual rains. So, yeah, there's so many ways that corporates can get involved.
Well, that's a really interesting thing for me to hear because I've been sort of looking at the Net Zero Asset Owners Alliance, which has sort of said you need to take action internally. Carbon offset should be used as something additional. You've got Norway's sovereign fund saying the same thing. And with the focus on biodiversity and nature, you can't really have credits because it's so specific to an area that this is perhaps an opportunity for companies to show their leadership and say, whatever we're doing internally, however we're cutting our emissions, we're making a difference by doing more.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely, yeah, we're completely aligned on that. I mean, companies obviously have a responsibility to cut their emissions primarily and, you know, and not just offset them and think the job is done. And you're right, to do something additional is where it's all about, making a positive contribution. And, you know, we're very much about integrity, and that's why we have certain, not just corporates that donate, but also foundations like the Epic Foundation, Milky Wire, Pinwheel, a donation platform in this country. They're only interested in very high impact activities. And they've chosen us because they've been to see our projects, they've had a deep look at what we do and are satisfied that what we do is making a genuine additional difference that wouldn't have otherwise happened. We can't guarantee 50 years of longevity because we don't own the land. These farms might be turned into something else in the future. But, you know, we fully believe in what we do because once you've shown a farmer what they can do by restoring trees, they do it themselves. And so we know they're going to keep doing it because it is in their personal and their family's interest to do so. So we're very confident in the integrity of our reporting and the theory and practice of what we do.
So really this is about a transformation of from exploitation to regeneration.
Completely. And we've only just got started. As you mentioned, we're 400,000 hectares, but you know, under active restoration, but there's so much more to go for. We're expanding approximately 40-50% a year as organizations and corporates are understanding that they can make a real difference. In Africa, it's very cost effective to do this work, and yet the whole planet benefits. It doesn't matter where you're sequestering carbon, whether it's Europe, California, or sub-Saharan Africa. So, yeah, companies can make an almost instantaneous difference. And we're very happy to talk to anyone who's interested in what we're doing.
Well, I think that sounds like the perfect point to close our conversation. Thank you so much, Stuart, for joining us today. I think what Just Dig It is doing sounds amazing. And I wish you the best of luck. To our listeners, don't forget to pay some attention. And if you've got the funds, put some their way. Otherwise, we look forward to you joining us for the next edition of SG Voice Talks 2.